Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 138. We're recording this on Monday, May 29th. We're a day late this week, but we took a little break for Memorial Day. We're, you know, the weekend, and I worked yesterday, and it's been a really rough week for me. So I took an extra mental health day, I guess. But I'm joined tonight with my two normal co-hosts here. I have Liz and Chris. Liz, how are you tonight?
I'm very not normal, but I am your co-host.
Well, very not normal is a good thing. So, and Chris, how are you?
Well, I'm good, but I'm a little concerned about you because, well, we didn't get last week's Random Chatter episode posted yet, and you were absent from Slack, so I was starting to think that you just left me for dead.
No. It's just been one of those things where the work I do normally during the day is dependent on weather, and springtime is our busy time of the year, and usually the week before Memorial Day is everybody trying to get their equipment fixed and ready and back out of the shop, and it's been a big push to get everything done. So I've been a little stressed on stuff. So nothing major. Just what's that?
You needed a day.
I did. So cool. I'm back. I'm back in Slack now. I'm chatting away again, and hopefully back to my normal routine of things. So I hope this week will be a little more normal than last week was. But thank you for your concern. Let's see, we have, we don't have any updates really, so things are status quo, I guess. Let's just jump right into the news, what little of it we have. I feel like there's this vacuum of news we have this week. The movie's been kind of talked about for the year, and the big movie happenings are coming out, and we're getting more and more trailers for Wonder Woman, but we're not seeing much new stuff, so I've been kind of scouring to find stuff out there. One of the things I this could almost be a What Were They Thinking weekly thing, but I wanted to talk about the whole Tom Cruise saying that Top Gun 2 is happening. I was hoping for that reaction. I mean, I'm a big Top Gun fan. I mean, I loved it back in the day when it came out. It's aviation, it's fighter planes. I mean, that's right up my alley. But do we really need a Top Gun 2? I mean, did you guys hear this, that Tom Cruise announced this?
Yeah, and my first thought was, no, we do not need a Top Gun 2 at all. Because what, like, is Maverick going to be, like, 50 and retired? Like, is it going to be a new, like, what's the story? I already hate it. Doesn't matter.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can't really do it with him anymore. I mean, he's a good action star, and he's still doing stuff, you know, that way, but he's not young enough to be a fighter pilot anymore. I mean,
well, right. Yeah.
You can't pull that off.
Let's be honest, the man looks amazing for his age, and he seems to look that good and to be in fit and whatever, so they could utilize him, I'm sure, but it just, I don't know.
Right, your hot shot pilots are in their, you know, what, mid-20s to mid-30s?
Right. I mean, so it's gonna be a little older than that. And, whoever else.
Well, you know, Val Kilmer said he wants in.
No.
Yeah, I'm like, oh god, he looks even older than Tom Cruise does. And have you guys heard? I mean, is this supposed to be a remake of it, or is it a brand new movie, like a part two? Is it a sequel? Is it?
Oh dear God, I hope it's not a remake. I would be better okay with a sequel than a remake.
I'm not happy with either one, but you're right. We don't need a remake. First off, it was a good movie to begin with. Movies have changed so much since then. I don't know if you could really redo that and have it be good.
Yeah.
You know?
I survived the Dirty Dancing remake. Like, I can't stop remaking our movies.
Wait. Did I know there's a Dirty Dancing remake?
They just did an ABC just did a, like, a one of the musicals, you know, that they do. They did Dirty Dancing this week.
Wow.
It wasn't good. It was bad.
I knew it was the anniversary week coming up here, and they talked about it on one of the, Today Show had it on, but.
Yeah, so they did a remake with Abigail Breslin as Baby. Other people that shouldn't have been in it.
I don't know why we needed that either, but we don't need remakes. I mean, they go back to the same old tired franchises over and over again. Most of the times, they just ruin a good name. I see nothing but tears for Top Gun 2.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think? Were you a Top Gun fan?
I've actually never seen it all the way through.
Really? Okay. Wow. I mean, I know it came out before your time, but I've never seen the whole thing.
It's an 80s movie, man.
It is. Wow, Chris. You're the second person I've talked to this past week that has never seen Top Gun.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen like the beginning or whatever because of the Danger Zone song, but that's about it.
So you've seen the video, but you haven't seen the movie.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, you have homework. That's cool.
That's right. Watch that.
That being said, I don't think we need a sequel or a remake of it. Like, can we just stop with the remakes?
I'm almost always on board with a sequel over a remake because I'd rather.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I mean, a sequel is okay in some cases, but you know,
delightful.
I'm sorry, you broke up there, Liz. We missed that.
No, I broke up again.
You break it up with us all the time.
I don't mean to break up with you.
Thank you.
I said Love Actually just did their sequel and for Red Nose Day, and it was delightful. And it was just like a little, like, where are they now? Moving on. And it wasn't like...
But that wasn't a whole movie either. That was just like a 20-minute thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was like the best way they could have handled it, because they could have done a full movie and, like, messed it up, but they didn't, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to do a small, what were they doing, you know, what are they doing now type thing. But, I mean, you're right. There's so many times that a sequel messes things up, or if it's so long after the, you know, movie, do we really even care about it anymore?
Yeah. I mean, I think we care about the original. I don't think we care, like, oh, I really want to know what happened to those two. Like, no, we don't.
Well, exactly. I mean, we talked about Blade Runner recently, too, and that's the same kind of thing. I'm kind of worried about this. I mean, the trailer looked good that we got, but I'm worried about how this affects the first movie. I mean, I really liked it, and, you know, it was it stands at the test of time. It's its own movie. I don't need to see anything after that, especially this many years later. I don't feel the same way about the Alien stuff because it's kind of gone in a different direction, but if they had waited this long to do an Alien sequel, I'd be the same way. Like, why are we doing this now? But we've had a history of Alien stuff going on, so it's not as big of a gap. Top Gun 2 just does not do it for me at all. And this is coming from a pilot who loves air combat movies and anything about that, but I hope this doesn't happen, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, me too. It makes me nervous. I don't know.
Another weird story we had, again, tell you, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I saw that Neil Gaiman is entertaining the thought of reading the Cheesecake Factory for charity, reading the menu for charity. This struck me as a very bizarre story. A friend of his, a fellow author, challenged him on Twitter in public to do a public reading of the Cheesecake Factory. I guess it's a very long menu. I've never been to Cheesecake Factory, but
it is.
So they've challenged him to do a reading of it in public, and he said, "Yeah, you know what? Sure, I'll do it. I'll donate money to charity, but you got to raise $500,000 for me by June 20th. I guess all the proceeds are going to go to the United Nations Refugee Agency, and." I guess she's well on her way. The author's name is Sarah. She's raised $62,000 so far. And I guess if he makes $1 million with it, he'll make a video of it and put it out for anybody to see, I guess. So it'd be kind of cool. But, I like the way Neil Gaiman has turned this into a charity fundraiser. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's completely random. And... definitely the weirdest thing on the list, but like, yeah, I think it's it's a very interesting way to, I think, especially now with like all of those Omaze challenges, you know, that people do,
right?
You know, yep. Like Chris Evans did one of like, come be in an escape room with me, which I definitely didn't donate, only because if I was in an escape room with Chris Evans, no one's escaping that room, just telling you that right now. No one's getting out. We're staying forever. So, but, you know, they're, like, thinking of creative ways to try to raise money. So this is interesting. It's random, but, you know, I hope he does it. I hope they make it.
No, I hope it works out for everybody. I hope he does the reading, and I hope he gets the $500,000 for charity.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Let's see. British Airways had a little mishap over the weekend. No planes crashed, so that's good. Nobody died. But I guess they had a little computer failure. And it shut down almost every flight out of London Heathrow. This is on Saturday, I believe it was the 27th Saturday. And I guess it was due to a power failure at one of their facilities in India, I guess. And nobody could reboot the system. So, I mean, frankly, I think you just turn it off and turn it back on again. But nobody could get the system up and running again. And they canceled like 1,000 flights during that day. Almost every flight out of London Heathrow, which is their biggest hub, was canceled that day. You know, I think I saw some number of 300,000 people were affected by this, which is just nuts. My wife had a friend who was traveling to the U.S., actually from the U.K., for business, and it was 2 days before she got it. I think she just got out of London today, which is Monday, so 2 days after the failure. You know, they couldn't rebook her. They couldn't get her on a plane. They couldn't do anything. I mean, when your computer system goes down, when you're that integrated, there's no way to do a manual anything with the airlines these days. So it's kind of frustrating when you think about that. But, you know, have you guys been in any situations where you've been in a, like, you know, just an airport where you were trapped for a day or a couple hours?
Yeah. In the year 2014, every flight I was on for the whole year was canceled or delayed or rained out or whatever the case, weather delay, like over and over and over again. It was a horrible, horrible, horrible year. I was at the airport for 13 hours one time.
Oh, I'm never flying with you.
Yeah.
You're a bad luck charm.
No. 2015 broke the streak. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
I have lots of flights now. But this is the problem. Skynet just decided to shut everything down.
Skynet's involved now. Oh, look out.
What happened. Don't for a second think that they don't have control over us, because they do.
You know, but it's just amazing to me that there's no way to do a backup, you know, a manual paper process of any of this stuff.
Right.
I mean, you go back to, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we had the paper tickets that were 3-part tickets when you wrote, and they had one copy you gave to the boarding agent, one copy went to you, and one copy is your receipt. And, you know, but there's got to be a way to do it, do something besides the computer network that goes down. And I guess this isn't the first time that British Airways had a major computer failure. Over the last, I'd say, 2 years since they upgraded, I guess. But you know, for one of the world's largest carriers, and to have major international flights this affected, and most international flights are kind of once a day. You know, they don't have like a, you know, every hour flight to New York. It's kind of tough to recover from this. I mean, I imagine they're going to be trying to recover passenger-wise probably for the next week or so, trying to reposition planes, reposition people, get people on flights. That's just going to be a mess, especially with as crowded as flights are these days and as booked as they are. You know, trying to find spare seats to get passengers on the next available flight might be a while. I guess BA has said they're going to refund everybody's money if they can't make the flights or don't want to do the flights anymore. So I don't know what the total financial loss is going to be to British Airways, but I imagine it's going to be a pretty devastating loss to them. This is going to be ripples throughout their network for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Let's see here. So lastly for the news, we have, I guess, the box office results for last weekend. Did either of you get out to see a movie this weekend?
You know what I saw.
You went to see Alien Covenant?
No.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Nope.
Oh. Was there another big release you went to see or something?
There was a big one. Pirates of the Caribbean!
Oh, boy. How was that?
I loved every minute of it. It was delightful. It was more than delightful. It was wonderful. I'm very biased. Because
I was
going to
say, and you're a fan, so that's good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Right.
It's not getting the best reviews.
I know. I don't care about reviews, actually. What I liked about it, as opposed to 4, which I say skip because it doesn't, it's like a one-off with just Jack doing his own thing. And this is bringing it back to the trilogy where it's about the Turners and it's Elizabeth and Will's son, and he's trying to find Jack and pull him into like a caper, you know. And it really like brought it back to what I felt like the whole arc of the first 3 was. And it was just, I don't know, it had some really heartfelt moments. I definitely teared up at one part, which was surprising because it's, you know, it was fun. The music is great. It's good action, like over the top. Jack Sparrow's Jack Sparrow, and I love him. And I just loved it. I'm super biased. So if you don't like the other movies or think, oh, the first one's the only one and there are no other ones, then don't go see it. But if you, I don't know, if you like it and just will accept whatever they show you like I do, then you should go see it because it's wonderful.
You know, I keep thinking I have to give the Pirates movies another chance. I've seen the first one. I've seen the second one. I think that's all I've seen. I don't think I've seen anything beyond two.
The third one is my favorite one, which is a very unpopular opinion, but I love it. I think Elizabeth Swann is a really strong female character. They give her, like, she doesn't have to learn how to fight from a dude, like she already knew, and she becomes, like, you know, a pirate herself. And I just love her arc. I love Will's arc. I love everywhere it goes. But so I'm super, super biased, but I love it.
Well, that's good because it did take down the number one spot at the theaters this weekend. It made $62 million over the, I think that's over the 4-day. It only got a 31% in Rotten Tomatoes, though, so it's not doing all that well as far as that goes. Guardians of the Galaxy came in second with another $20 million, bringing its total to $333. Baywatch coming at number three. It only got a 19% Rotten Tomatoes, so Pirates is doing better than Baywatch did, with only $18.5 million. And the funny thing is, they're already talking about a sequel.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, really? It's doing horrible in the theater, it's doing horrible with the critics, and you're already talking about a sequel. Okay. Anyway, Alien Covenant took down the fourth spot with another $10 million, bringing a total of 57, which is, I think, pretty slim for what I thought it was going to do. And Everything rounded out the top five with 47% Rotten Tomatoes. It made $6 million this week for a total of 21.3.
And some of that was my money, because I went to see it again.
You went to see it again? Oh, my God. And Chris, you said you didn't see anything this weekend, right?
I did not, unfortunately. I thought about it multiple times, but...
Yeah, I didn't get out either this weekend to see anything. I thought about going to see Baywatch, but no. If I had to stay home, save my money for next weekend.
My main gripe was that I couldn't decide what I wanted to see. Because I have to see Guardians, I want to see Alien, I want to see Pirates, and I also maybe want to see Baywatch, but I couldn't decide what mood I was in, so I just said, screw it, I'm staying home.
You have so much to do.
Well, yeah. If you can't decide what mood you're in, though, that's probably a wise choice. You don't want to be in the wrong mood and see the wrong movie.
Exactly.
Because then it would taint that movie for you. So that's good. That's good. Highly recommend Guardians. I highly recommend Alien Covenant. I will probably see Baywatch on video.
I will, too.
And I probably will give the Caribbean movie another shot, but I got to see the first four again first. So.
No, skip the fourth one. Just do three.
Skip the fourth one, do the first three in this one?
Yeah.
Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
Next weekend, we do have Wonder Woman coming out.
Yay!
I think I'll definitely be seeing that one in the theater next weekend.
Oh, oh boy, another movie that I need to see.
Because no one's twisting your arm, because you don't have to go see it. I mean, I think it's going to be a fun ride. I think you should see it. I think it's going to be the first time we're going to see a really strong female character on screen, which is going to be awesome.
Well, there's plenty of strong female characters on screen.
Well, but I should say leading her movie. I mean, she is the movie.
Superhero.
Yes.
On screen. Yeah.
Yes. Which brings us to our discussion point, actually. You guys kind of put me onto this early because I didn't hear this story until I started reading the article just a little while ago. I guess there's going to be some women-only screenings of Wonder Woman this next weekend coming up. And men are in outrage over this. Some men, yes. Not all. I'm not. Chris, are you?
No.
No. It doesn't affect me. I mean, but yeah, I guess there's some theaters that are showing only women are allowed in some of the theaters. And Liz, you were saying some of the theaters are being only staffed by women at the same time. So
yeah,
it's
that's
a true
what I read.
Women only, which I think is great. I mean, more power to them if they want to do it that way. That's fantastic. But I guess there's some men that are just really downright adamant about this is, anti-sexism and, I want to go. So they're buying tickets and they're being told they're not going to be able to let in. But, I don't see what the big hullabaloo is over this. I mean, it's if they want to do it that way. I don't see a problem with it. you know, Alamo is the Alamo Draft House is one of the first ones that are really doing this and making a big deal of it. And there's a quote here that says, "Apologies, gentlemen, but we are embracing our girl power and saying no guys allowed for one special night at the Alamo Ritz. And when we say people who identify as women only, we mean it."
Yeah.
"Everyone working at the screening, venue staff, projectionists, culinary team." Culinary team? I think they're taking food at the movie theater. Well, actually, Alamo Draft House does more than just popcorn and stuff, but still. Calling it a culinary team? I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch. They say the whole team will be female. So, I think that's a great way to kind of embrace this movie about a powerful female character. What do you guys think? I mean, is this something that should be seen more often? Is it something that you think is a good thing? Or is this just kind of a stunt for publicity?
I don't think it should be done more often, because then that's just kind of like cheapening the whole event, if you ask me. I mean, I actually said this on Twitter a few days ago when all of this was first being talked about. It's not doing necessarily anything like progressive or good, aside from the fact that the theaters are donating to some of the proceeds to charity, which my tweet actually was before I found that out. So it's kind of in hindsight type thing. But the theaters necessarily aren't doing anything bad, because it's not like this is a whole weekend type thing or an entire day even. It's literally like one or two showings. I mean, I've at my theater in my hometown, I think they've had ones where you can only be bringing your kid to. It was like a kids only thing, or you had to at least have a child with you to go into the theater because it was a kids movie. But
okay,
I mean, that's a different thing, but you're still like limiting the amount of people that can see it.
The same idea, because you're setting the tone for what you want them to be. So
yeah, I think it's I think some of this is about a little bit about publicity, and getting the name of the Alamo Draft House out there to people who don't know what it is. And, you know, everyone seems to like to cause drama, I feel like, but I don't want people to get the wrong message that I disagree with this, or I think it's a bad thing. I just think it's a little bit of publicity, but mostly, hey, we want to do something good for, cause I mean, it is a significant, obviously it's not the first time a female character has had a lead in a movie. It's not even the first superhero movie. I mean, it's one of the first, but it's not the first. I mean, I remember Catwoman, which is a terrible film, but this is the first major blockbuster.
This is the first major release of a comic book as a female character lead. Yeah. And you're right. It probably is a bit of a publicity stunt from Alamo. But they've done this kind of stuff before. They are strong supporters of, you know, all kinds of things. So it's not like they're just doing this for themselves and saying, hey, we're going to get our name out there. I mean, any publicity is good publicity. But I think for this, you know, doing this as a thing to way to empower people to go see it, I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Chris. I think doing it more often would kind of cheapen it up. Doing it once and having a big statement about this is fine. You know, the guys that are writing in, you know, stuff on Facebook and on Twitter about how, well, I guess, you know, quality only goes one way, and we couldn't have a men's only showing and so forth. But it's the same thing when they talk about this with, like, you know, anything where it's racism or sexism or any kind of a protected class. You know, you can't do it the other way because, you know, men, for example, aren't a protected class. We are, not that we're the majority, but we're in power. It's the people, you know, they're the ones that kind of make the rules in a lot of cases. And trying to get the equality for the women's groups is definitely something that needs to be helped out. And this is maybe one way to show, hey, we're powerful. We're going to fill the theater with women, and we're going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this movie lends itself to something like this, even if it does boost publicity or whatever they, you know, if they're like, hey, let's get our name out there or whatever. It's a movie that lends itself to that. So I'm surprised a lot of other ones aren't jumping on the bandwagon. And they should be, because I think it's a great opportunity to, it's what Wonder Woman is, you know, like about, you know? And so I just think it's, I think it's awesome. I'm excited about it. I wish I had a theater here. If I was in New York, I would 100% be going to one.
Right.
I think like dudes that are buying tickets just to like stick it to women are terminally single and they should remain so.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know what I mean? Like, what? Yeah. Who cares?
Well, it's funny because you think about the movie too, and the setting time frame of the movie. You know, mm-hmm. It was a time when women didn't really have any rights, and right. You know, even in that first trailer when we had the, you know, two characters talking with his secretary, and she's like, "What's his secretary?" And she, and sort of like, "He tells me what to do when I do it." And she's like, "Where I come from, that's called a slave." And right. It's like, that was awesome. In fact, I showed my wife the trailer, and she's like, "Okay, I'll go see it because of that."
Yeah. You know?
So she's going to go see it with me this weekend. But I think it's great that they're doing this and kind of placing the hand of what the movie's all about and how it's showing things to us. So
I think it's the perfect time for this movie. I mean, I know everybody's been wanting one for years, and I know that Joss Whedon was like going to do one for a while. It fell through, and like nobody knows how to deal with Wonder Woman on the big screen, which is ridiculous. But I think this is the perfect time politically. I think it's the perfect time in the temperature of our country. And so I think this is just showing, you know, like, I don't know. It's just breaking through a lot of the BS, you know what I mean? And so, like, I think to have it available, to have the theater stand by what they're saying and be like, no, bro, you ain't getting in, you know?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I think it's really interesting, and I'm interested that they're doing it. Like I said, I'd be at it if I could. Neither of you would be, obviously, but...
No, I certainly wouldn't be able to. But yeah, the people that are saying that it affects it, I mean, how does it really affect you? I mean, this movie's been playing in like 4,000 screens this weekend. If you can't find a place to see it, you're doing something wrong.
Well, and I doubt it. That's the problem. I think it's just this whole mentality of like, I need to be able to have access to everything that I want to have access to. And that doesn't, and end of story. And that...
Right, you know. But I guess I don't understand still why they think this is a problem, because you're not being shut out of anything. I mean, just because it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of groups that are out there that are you know, this is a group of whoever the case. And if you're not part of that group, you're just not part of that group. You don't have to be. It's not like you're being excluded. You're just not part of that group. I don't see what the big deal is. I really, really don't. And I've never understood that with a lot of other things out there. Like if it's, you know, any kind of an organization of any group that is exclusive to one set of circumstances, if you're not part of that group, just move right on. I mean, you're not included. You don't have to be there.
Well, it's sort of that not all men or all lives matter mentality. It's like, well, you can't single black lives out because all lives matter. Well, you're missing the point. You're missing the whole point. And when we call out a man who's doing something wrong and say, men are acting this way and it's not okay, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that either of you act that way. And if you take offense to it, then maybe you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because obviously it's hitting a nerve with you that you think that you're one of those men. If you think you are, you know what I mean?
yeah, maybe you are.
Either
you're right.
You are secure in knowing that you aren't that kind of man, which I appreciate. Thank you, gentlemen. For being normal human males, you know? I don't know. It baffles me, too. It's always baffled me whenever I see these stories, like the Ghostbuster, the female Ghostbuster backlash, which, let's admit, it's not a great movie. I didn't need a female Ghostbusters. I identified with the original. I didn't, you know? Mm-hmm. But for men to, like, these men to get so upset about women being in Ghostbusters, like, nope, nobody cares. Like, stop
it. Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, I'm glad you take that approach to it, because, like, the Ghostbusters thing, for example, I don't care that it was all female Ghostbusters. I didn't think we needed it. Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't need to remake it. You know, fine. But if it was a good movie, I would have gone to see it, and I would have enjoyed it. It didn't look good, so I didn't go see it, and I probably never will. But, you know, it didn't fail for me because it wasn't men. It failed for me because it wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, and it's hard to draw that line sometimes. I do think that the Ghostbusters one, like, I saw a lot of little girls in October dressing up as female Ghostbusters. So I think that there's something to be said with pushing through, even if it's not great. Like, I don't like that mentality, but I think you have to take baby steps to get where you want to be. And so if we ever had a fully integrated Ghostbusters team with men and women, like, and it was an awesome movie in the universe of the, you know, like, I feel like that would be amazing. And I would be on board for that. Like,
it could be, right. But if, like, you did some other, you know, movie, you know, what, you know, maybe Ghostbusters never got made back when it did, and you had the idea now, and you had to put all women in it instead of men, and it worked well, great. I mean, I don't have a problem with women taking roles in movies that are strong and empower, and, you know, even the whole female, you know, crew or you know, of whatever kind of movie you're doing. I don't have a problem with that. I just don't think we need to change things from what they were. It just doesn't. You know, doesn't work for me. It's like when they did the remake of Annie a couple of years ago. I didn't think we needed that way, and they wanted to do it as if it was a little black girl and so forth, and great. But it didn't move the story along for me. I mean, it didn't need to be remade that way, I didn't think.
I think the tough part to justify not doing it is that, like, a little girl who goes and sees that movie and enjoys it, because that's who it's for, it's not for us. For a little kid to go see that and see somebody who that they identify with is a very powerful thing. So for,
yes,
for girls to go see the Ghostbusters movie and say, like, hey, you know, like, the only thing about that is, like, hey, I could be a Ghostbuster one day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough line, because I do think, you know, representation is super, super, super important. And it sucks. Mm-hmm. We just don't have it. It's just not.
You're right.
And we're taking baby steps, and I feel like people are clawing at whatever they can get their hands on to try to do, and to say, like, we're trying, we're doing it, we're going to make this, it's going to be women, mm-hmm. we're going to empower women. Well, I feel like it cuts the empowerment, because it ain't a great movie, and it's not going to be a classic, and nobody's going to watch it in 20 years because it's not that great.
Well, that's the thing for me. It's like, okay, you have a classic and you have the remake that was done in a different setting to make it appeal to a different type of person. Does it hurt the movement more if you have a movie that wasn't that good when the original was really good and people still watch the original and not the remake? I mean,
yeah.
it doesn't put their point across. It doesn't really help their desires out. I mean, I understand we want to do things to promote minorities or promote, you know, minorities in film and have more people of color in film and have more women in film, but, you know, do you need to have a better story and have it written for a female role instead of trying to remake something that was done with a male role and redo it as female?
Well, and I think this is even beyond, like, women or people of color or anything like that. I think stop making crappy movies, Hollywood.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Baywatch sucks. I just think it's going to suck. Top Gun 2 is going to suck. Like, Transformers 17 is going to suck. Stop making a crappy movie.
Transformers 17.
And start looking at people as options for your movie. And once you start looking at people instead of this group and that group and that group and that group, and how can we, you know, like, make sure that we make one movie for this group and one movie for it's almost worse when you get to that level. How can you start looking at people as people and making excellent movies that people want to see and feel like they're represented in? I think that's where. I think it's hard to do, and I don't think that it's easy by any means. And we've come to a certain part in our culture where we react in 140 characters with no face-to-face contact, so we feel very vindicated in whatever we say because no one calls us on our BS. And it's a
right, yeah, no one calls you out.
You have to answer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super easy to, like, say, you know, whatever we want about a Wonder Woman women-only screening, or say whatever we want about that, you know, it's going to be an all-women's Ocean's 8 coming up with Sandra Bullock and Mindy Kaling and I forget everyone who's Kate Blanchett, I think. So I'm on the fence about that one. I hope it's awesome and the cast is amazing. And it's, I think Sandra Bullock is Danny Ocean's sister or something like that. So it's
okay.
World, which I appreciate, because I hated about Ghostbusters that, like, the cast was in the movie, but they weren't themselves. Stop it. Like, stop right now.
Right, right.
Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see, you know, Bill Murray as the cab driver and not as himself. So if it's in World, I'm almost more okay with it. So I want him to be good. If it was good, do it. Who cares? Do it. Everyone, people will identify it. I, as a female, identified with an all-male Ocean's 11 cast, an all-male Ocean, you know, not Ocean's, all-male Ghostbusters, all-male, there was like token females through the entire 80s, and I loved all of those movies. You know what I mean? So they just have to be good.
I think you hit it right in the head. Look at people as people, not as what they are, not as a male or a female or a person of color. If you do that and cast it based on who's the best person for that role, I think that's going to be a better way to go. I know Hollywood has to have a mindset change. They have to start looking at people differently. And that's kind of what you were saying. I mean, if they start doing that, we may get what you want. Every year, like the last 2 years now at the Academy Awards, there's been big, you know, controversy over who got nominated, how many people of color got nominated, and so forth. And again, it's just if we stop looking at who they are and just kind of cast based on what we think they're going to do for the role, that may solve some of this problem. You know, if we become more colorblind, I think it'd be a good thing. Chris, you've been very quiet about this conversation.
I mean, I don't really have anything else to say. I mean, I think it would be nice to get to a point where you can identify with someone on screen because of their actions in the movie rather than what they look like, or, you know, if they resemble personality traits to you. I mean, as a white guy, am I not allowed to say, like, look up to Finn or John Boyega because he's black? I mean, whereas I wouldn't expect a black person to, like, look at Poe or Ray or Harrison Ford or Mark Hamill or any other movie and not be able to identify with them. I don't get that. So
And it's probably harder for us, Chris, because we don't come from that kind of background. But
yeah, we're not minorities.
But, right. And you're right, though. I think that, I mean, I don't look at John Boyega as a black actor. I look at him as an actor and a very good actor. I like the stuff he's done. You know, and I don't, if the story is good enough, and this kind of comes back to what Liz was saying, if the story is good enough, I don't care who's in the roles. And I almost don't even notice who's in the roles. As long as they're a good actor doing a good job of portraying that character, you know, I don't see what they are per se. I see the character. And I forget if the character is, you know, black, white, Latino, or whatever. It's the character.
It's really tough because we've come to a certain point in our culture where this is, it's exploding. And so it's very difficult to have like a conversation about it without people getting like really like hot. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, I think Chris really hit it too of like, of the actions of the character. But if you think about the other side of it, a person who never sees themselves on screen, someone who looks like them or someone they can identify. Mm. Like, what does that say to you about your importance in the world? You know, and I think it's a both and. I think we have to see more population of every day. I thought Rogue One hit. So I wished for like a couple, you know, I thought it was like the perfect casting. It was well done. I could identify with everybody and everybody was a different personality. They looked different. It was just completely different across the board. And it gave you such a wide span of people to like find commonality with. And part of the problem is that we've stopped finding commonality with people that we don't have a lot of things in common, which guess what? We're all humans. So we have things in common and we've just stop trying to break through those things, which is sad. I don't know. That's a bit of a rant, but
no, I think it's perfectly fine.
I get like really upset about it because I just don't understand how you couldn't see a person and say like, whatever else goes on, that person has a heartbeat and I have a heartbeat. And that is enough for me to be like, hey, you know, like, I don't know. I know a lot of other stuff gets in the way and that's really boiled down, but sometimes it's really difficult when people get up in arms about these silly things and knowing that the world is such a bigger place than that and that people are so much more important than that. It's really upsetting and you get really mad about it, but I still try to like talk calmly about it. when I can. So.
Well, good. I think you definitely put the right spin on that for us. So. Yeah. At this point, I think we're going to kind of close down the show. I don't really have anything else to talk about that. And like we said, it was kind of a slow news week. So if anybody has any questions for us or wants to add to the discussion, please do so by sending us an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. We'd love to hear your views on the whole Wonder Woman screening thing for women only and any of the stuff we talked about tonight. Please send us some feedback.
You can also find us on our social media. We have our Facebook. It's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The Twitter for this is @randomchatter. My Twitter is @thecurseofchris. Lou, what is your Twitter?
My Twitter is just my name. It's @LouSecki. That's LouSecki.
And Liz, what is your Twitter?
And I'm @nerdinthecity. And you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Be sure to listen to the other shows that we have available as well.
Oh, that's me. Sorry. I was too busy editing Lou's mistake in the show notes.
Likely story.
Don't forget, you can spread the word about this podcast and the network as a whole. Leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And please tell your friends about us if you are talking about, you know, the latest in pop culture or Star Wars or your favorite TV show or something. And you listen to our podcast, send your friends our way, because if you like it, then they probably will too.
And of course, we do appreciate your support. You can do that over at patreon.com/randomchatter. We've been revamping the donation levels there. We're probably going to release that this coming week. A couple more little tweaks to do, but we promise that'll be coming out there pretty soon. But we do appreciate the help. It does keep the lights on for us. It helps us pay all of our hosting fees and everything. So at that point, I think we're all set. So take care until next week, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.